Welcome to the Edinburgh Cider Review, the first edition of the podcast. This is the pilot episode, which may or may not run. We'll see what happens. Anyway, my name is Neil Caldwell. I have with me James Cocker, a.k.a. IT.
Hello.
And we are going to talk about cider from an Edinburgh citizen's perspective. Is that right?
Something along those lines.
Okay. So we'll start with, we'll give a brief introduction as to why we're doing this. Why are we doing this again?
I don't know. We like cider and it's a crazy idea we had in the pub.
Yeah, we like cider and it's a crazy idea we had in the pub. And we thought there might be people out in the ether, or ether, is that the best way to describe it? Yeah. who also like cider, but are not cider experts. We don't claim to be cider experts. To be honest, I like cider some of the time. IT here likes cider all of the time.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And that's why we're going to do a podcast. So anyway, we thought we'd start by looking into IT's fridge to see what cider he has. So IT, what's in the fridge this week?
This week, we have quite a selection, including five varieties of Thistle Cross, including the new whiskey cask.
Five varieties of Thistle Cross?
Yes.
Why did you choose to have... Is that every single variety of Thistle Cross?
No, I didn't bother getting the 0.5% elderflower one. I did consider it. And whether you count the still and unstill versions of the original is another matter.
But you thought you'd buy them both?
No, I didn't buy them both. I just bought the still one because I prefer the still one. We also have a good old Henry Weston's Vintage 2011.
Yep, top glass.
Indeed. a nice Bulmers Vintage. And a couple of new ones which I haven't come across before, one of which is the Sheppey's Dabinet Apple from Somerset, so 7.2% cider.
A traditional Somerset number.
Indeed. Okay. So we shall... May well give that a go later on. Okay. We've got our traditional Copperbergs in there. And what I still haven't tried yet is the Mango Raspberry Recorlig, which sounds interesting.
You might just leave that one in the fridge.
I've got a pair of Bulmers sitting there for when you're feeling not too adventurous. And another one which I picked up, which sounds a bit girly and looks a bit girly, but I thought sounded interesting, was the Aspel... Perenelli's Blush Suffolk Cider. Is that how you'd say that? I presume so.
Thank you.
Which has a dash of blackberry liqueur. So that will be an interesting one to try too.
Is that one more expensive than the others?
I don't know. I don't look at prices.
All right.
just like the ones I don't recognise.
Well, let's give that last one a try.
Okay.
And we'll also... We'll go with the traditional Thistle Cross.
Ooh, the traditional, not the original?
Well, which one's which again?
The traditional is the traditional 4.4%, slightly sparkling, whereas the original is the 7.2%, and I have the still version of it.
Okay, we'll go with the still 7.2% number. Where's that?
That's the real ginger.
Okay.
I think I've got one somewhere. Is that, yeah, original 7.2.
So we're going with the...
Did I get the still one? Yeah, to get the still one. That's all right, then.
Well, let's try this one first.
I do like the new labels that Thistle Cross has come out with. They're more modern than the previous ones. And I do like the Saltire on the bottle top as well. It's a nice wee Scottish touch.
The only Scottish cider, isn't it, Thistle Cross?
It is, as far as I'm aware, yes. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, we're going to give this one a try. So this is the Thistle Cross original, is that right?
It's the original still, yes.
Original still.
Now... I'm not really sure if you're meant to be drinking this across the line, so are you? I suppose it's debatable.
I don't think it really matters. But given it's still, I don't think it matters too much. It is nice. It's nice, you get the full flavour of it because it's still, I think.
Yes.
So one criticism that has been levelled from other people we know is that it tastes like apple juice. And it kind of does.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't taste like it's 7.2%.
No, but you can easily drink a lot of this. So if you're on a mission, which I think everybody would understand what that means, well, given that you don't understand what that means...
No, I disagree. Thistle Cross isn't the cider for getting wasted. Thistle Cross is
Well, we have got wasted on Thistle Cross before, though.
Well, yeah, I know, but that's because we had a box of it in the fridge at the time. But no, Thistle Cross is a cider to be enjoyed before you're wasted. partly due to the being a premium cider, Thistle Cross is probably one of it's a pretty expensive cider compared to the rest. So if you were to get wasted on it, it would cost quite a bit.
Yeah, yes, it would. It's nice though.
Have you finished that whole half pint?
Well, it's not half a pint. It's a.
Oh yeah, sorry.
It's a half of a.
No, I see. You gave most of it to me.
It's half of two thirds. It's about a third of a pint.
We have the new mini bottles of Thistle Cross, 330 milliliters, better than Sainsbury's.
Yeah, it is good. I don't think it matters whether you have it with ice or not, because we have noticed in the past that there is some of your more premium select ciders where you would not want them with ice. But with this one, I don't think it matters which one.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see it here. Let us know. Email us.
Email us, theorchard@siderview.com.
So let us know, or find us on Facebook, if we're on Facebook. We'll probably be on Facebook at some point, if you can't find us on Facebook, because we haven't set up our Facebook page yet. Let us know if you think Thistle Cross should be drunk with or without ice. Be interested to hear.
So, is that our opening question to our band of followers?
Yes.
Whether Thistle Cross should be have,
or maybe not just Thistle Cross, but the Thistle Cross kind of category of cider.
The Thistle Cross, the premium category.
The premium side, yeah.
Well, how would you describe Thistle Cross? I mean, would you describe it as a premium, or would you describe it as a, I don't know, a more unique brand?
It's a premium cider. It's definitely a premium cider. Based on the cost and the almost uniqueness of it.
Yeah. We should say we've sampled the 7.2 flat version, and
yeah,
there are a variety of flavours for Thistle Cross, which are, we have what, ginger?
We have a real ginger, which is very gingery, surprisingly. We have the whiskey cask one, which is... Yeah. Quite whiskey, surprisingly. The red
stored one, in whiskey casks is the whiskey cask. So after they made the cider, they stored it in whiskey casks.
Yes, that's right. I believe.
So they don't actually add whiskey to.
No, they don't. No, yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's not like cider with a shot of whiskey. It's the Thistle Cross cider that they've matured in. In fact, let's just read off the bottle, shall we? It is a flavoursome cider made potent in wood. Sorry, in the wood. Matured in ex-whiskey casks for 6 months to mature the natural characteristics of the cider.
Excellent.
Indeed. Scottish classic.
It may remind some listeners, if you've not had it before, of Innocent Gun, which is a beer, which is a similar process. Innocent Gun's quite a famous Edinburgh premium beer that has a whiskey notes to it. And I think it's... more or less the same process.
I still need to try some of that. I'm not really a beer drinker.
Innocent Gun. But we're getting off topic a little bit if we're going down to Innocent Gun.
True.
Anyway, let's what's next on the agenda for...
I haven't finished my Thistle Cross yet. I'm savouring it.
While you savour your Thistle Cross, I'll open...
Uh-oh. Here comes the...
This is the Aspel Perenelle's Blush Suffolk Cider with a dash of blackberry liqueur. Specifically blackberry liqueur. Not just
blackberry.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see the colour of this one.
There's steam coming out of the top of it. I'm interested to see the thickness of it as well.
The thickness?
Well, because if it's got blackberry liqueur...
Yeah, a dash of it. It's not just blackberry liqueur.
Okay, I've just filled up a very small glass of it so far.
Yeah, have a taste of it. You might not like it.
Okay,
what does it smell of? Give some...
It just smells of...
Knows it.
It smells like just strong cider. Surprisingly.
You don't smell the blackberry?
Percentage? It's only 5.4. You can't really smell blackberry, to be honest.
No. Okay. That's it. Can you taste it?
That's not very nice.
Well, yes. We're not going to be getting any free Aspel cider anytime soon.
We're certainly not. But to be honest, wouldn't thank them. It's, I don't have too much of that.
Come on. Let's try it.
The blackberries, you don't get the full blackberry flavour, you just get the sharpness at the start.
Perhaps it's probably...
And it kills the cider flavour.
It's not right going straight from the Thistle Cross original to this, but...
See, I don't know about you, listeners. I like blackberries and I like cider, but I don't like this. It starts off very sharp blackberry.
Ooh, now that's quite different.
And it's quite sour aftertaste as well.
It is very. You know that sour taste afterwards. It's very different to any fruity cider I've ever tried.
Yeah. Try it, people, but I don't know if... it's not one I'd recommend from a cider drinker's perspective.
That is an interesting one.
It's the kind of thing you might give your granny and pretend it's a very expensive bottle.
It does look like a nice...
sort of liqueur-style bottle, doesn't it? But let's move on from this one.
Elongated it. It's almost like a mini wine bottle. Mm. Yeah, it might grow up. That's fine.
No, it's not something I'd want to have again. You can finish that bottle later if you want it by yourself, because I'm not...
There's a nice hint of something in it.
Well, the hint is cider. The four notes are half blackberry, which... It doesn't work, listeners.
It's an interesting one.
Yeah, right. Well, what are we going to do to get rid of that? We could go for Henry Weston's, because I think that...
That's getting too close to White Lightning.
Henry Weston's?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, strength and price-wise, really, isn't it?
Well, strength and price, I think you're misleading people that don't understand and know what Henry Weston's is.
True.
Henry Weston's a very strong 8.2% cider, but it's a very good one. And you'll find it in most shops these days, actually. It's becoming more common.
It is becoming quite common. I suppose the fact that it's sold quite often for £1.50 per 500ml bottle...
It gives it a misleading impression.
Yeah, it does.
I'm not going to lie, I have got completely out of my face drinking. But it's actually a very good cider, very strong, but it's very nice. It's not something that's really too overwhelming.
Mm.
It's just strong, full-bodied and nice. Anyway,
it's not quite as...
Since we're talking about it so much, should we have something?
Okay, crack it open.
Is there anything else you want to have?
What have we got? Do you know what? I haven't had the red
Fissy Cross.
I start calling it red. They don't call it red anymore, Fissy Cross, don't. It's now called Fissy Cross Real Strawberry.
Fissy Cross Real Strawberry.
So I'm tempted by... Actually, how about we do this? Let's go from the blackcurrant liqueur...
To another fruity cider this time.
To the strawberry Fissy Cross.
Okay.
And...
With or without ice?
Leave the ice in. I think this one being the fruity one, I can see this one going with ice.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is as close as I would say Thistle Cross get to a Copperberg style cider, I would say, in terms of
it's
very quite sweet. Well, let's get
it. It's probably one of the ones I've least drank out of the Thistle Cross range.
Yeah, it's very strawberry. In fact, the name, I can understand why they've changed the name from red to real strawberry, because it does taste of strawberry juice. Although, it's got a hint of the ciderness at the end that I quite like. It's better than I remember, actually. When I first tried this a year ago, maybe, it was...
It certainly smells of strawberry.
Yeah.
Is it... It's slightly sparkled, is it?
I don't think so. Yeah, very, very slightly.
Mm. It's still. According to the bottle, it's still.
There is a very, very slight sparkle to it.
So that's quite unusual from a fruit cider. Normally these days you like Copperbergs and Record Legs are all quite...
Yeah, it's busy. It's nice. I mean, Record Leg is probably, these days, the standard really fruity juice-style cider that you would get, I would say. Copperberg to an extent, or to a large extent, but Record Leg is really just juice in a bottle.
Mm.
And this is as close as Thistle Cross gets to it, because it's a...
It's very different, though, from the Record Leg in Copperberg.
Yeah, it's good. It's as far as the fruity numbers go, I'd put it up there. But let's be honest, we are Thistle Cross fans, and we would get all of their cider up in a pedestal.
We are. So do you think this one counts as, like, two of your five a day, since it's got strawberries and apples in it?
No.
Oh.
Did you genuinely think that, or were you just asking?
Well, okay, at least one then.
I don't think any of it does.
It says on the bottle that it's got hand-pressed strawberries.
Well, now we're going into a realm that I didn't think we were going to go down, because it's cider and a nutritional drink.
Oh.
Given the fact that alcohol probably kills off any goodness that it gives you.
I don't know. There's got to be something in there. It's obviously got the flavour from the strawberries, so that doesn't necessarily mean it doesn't have any of the goodness from the strawberries. No. There we go. Here's a question for... I don't really know who this question's for. But how much fruit... No, because ciders...
Are you trying to ask the listeners if there's what the nutritional value is of certain ciders?
How much cider do you have to drink before it counts as one of your five a day?
A lot.
No, but how would you know?
Well, I'm just guessing that per apple used to make a bottle of cider, you don't get the entire goodness from the apple. This is my guess. It just cannot be right in the same way. Like, it's not like drinking apple juice. I mean, they're adding a whole load of sugar to make the thing, aren't they?
Yeah, but you think how many apples actually go into a single bottle of cider? And you only need one of those apples for your one or for your five a day.
Perhaps. Let us know, listeners, at theorchard@ciderview.com. Theorchard@ciderview.com.
If you happen to be a scientist who can test nutritional values of ciders and work out how much you need to drink for your
or you have access to Google, want to research it yourself. We also have access to Google, just to let you know. I mean, IT, you are a web developer who's very familiar with Google searching.
Yes, true. But we'll Google that after the show, and we'll let you know what we find out next time.
But if you have any interesting comments about the nutritional value of cider, or you are a scientist and are into cider, please let us know at theorchard@ciderview.com. Anyway, should we try something else, or should we move on?
Well, I'm still enjoying this strawberry. So, what's next?
Well, how's about we open up a bigger bottle and we'll enjoy that for the rest of the show.
Okay.
Rather than talk about Sheppies, because that's one we might want to talk about another time.
Yeah, but I'll probably drink that before we get around to having another one.
Okay, so we'll open Sheppies. We'll open Sheppies. We'll comment on it briefly, and then we'll...
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a... It's a 7.2%.
7.2%?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that strong.
I know, it doesn't look like it's going to be that strong.
To be honest, it just looks like... I mean, this one's from Somerset.
It will be very interesting, actually, to see how this compares to the likes of... the original Thistle Cross, which is the same percentage.
The bottle looks... I mean, it's a Somerset cider. It looks like your traditional Cornish Somerset-style cider
in
the bottle.
It's not a scrumpy, but it doesn't give the impression it's a strong cider from the...
Okay, we'll label. We'll give this one. We'll
crack it open and we'll see what we think.
Okay. It's good sound effects for the listeners, isn't it? you can have the rest of that.
Thank you. I'm still drinking my strawberry, so you're down in
there. I'm muttering on ahead.
I'm just savouring them and...
Well, I'm figuring the more we drink, the better the show. And also, the more different, the greater the variety of ciders we can drink and comment on to the listeners. Because I know how much they value our opinions on
true. This. I mean, so... Anyway.
we'll give this one a go.
Right.
Smells quite flowery, actually.
Ooh. Okay.
No, I'd never thought I'd say that. we're veering into wine-tasting territory now, which I've got no expertise in. I might even get any expertise in drinking cider, to be honest. I just quite like it. You're more of the closer of the two of us to being an expert. But
well, yeah, not even that. What was it you said earlier about dry cider?
Oh, God, that's weird. That is bizarre. I was not expecting that.
Describe it.
It's it tastes like plasticine. It's got an afternote of plasticine. I was expecting something quite nice. It is actually very dry. Now, we were having a conversation before we started the show as to what actually a medium dry or sweet cider was. Now, I'm not entirely sure. Because
all the listeners now kind of start putting their head in their hands and thinking, why are these two creating a cider podcast?
Yeah, they're listening to hear cider fans talk about cider, not cider experts. I mean, when you want to learn about cider, you don't want it to hear from an expert's perspective. You want to hear from somebody that likes it and enjoys it.
True, true.
So, when I taste this, I'm not enjoying it. And I was expecting this would be something we could have just for the rest of the show. And it would be quite a nicer traditional Cornish stroke Somerset style cider, but no, it's it starts off okay, and then it's just got a very, very sour. It almost tastes like it's off. Try it and you'll see.
Perhaps it is. Oh well, let's give this a go.
That aftertaste is exceptionally weird.
Ooh. Ooh, I see what you mean.
Do you like that?
It's very different. It's very, very different.
I've never tasted anything like that.
That's yeah, that is an interesting one.
I'll put it this way. Your first impressions, are you going to be buying that one again?
Well, no. See, I'm not going to judge a cider on its first sip, especially as I've just come from the real strawberry. I'm going to... Because I know how changing from sweet cider, say, to a dry or soury cider can make the first sip.
This one isn't sour. This one is. There's nothing sour about it.
Well, what?
It's almost like an ultra dry aftertaste, right? But I would not say it's dry going down. It's just. It's almost like it's sucking the life out of you.
I see what you mean. Let's see what it says on the bottle. The Sheppey family have been farmer cider makers since the early 1800s. Well, they must be something like that, if that's the case. They've made cider for over 200 years.
You'd think they'd have got rid of that rank aftertaste of this
quality thing. And character. The skill and craftsmanship which produce Sheppey ciders remain unchanged over generations.
That's where they went wrong.
Homegrown and locally sourced apples guarantee the quality of the blend and ensure that you get a drink to be savoured.
And does it say anything about the rank aftertaste?
It says, Davinus is a high-quality cider apple which produces this full-flavoured, medium, single-variety cider. So sit down and drink in the rural beauty, the history and the craft of six generations of Somerset cider makers.
Okay, well, I'm not so keen on this.
I just think it's because it's different from... It's not what you're expecting, and it's completely different from anything else.
Well, to be honest, I thought I was going to be getting something, a standard kind of Henry Weston style, but less full-bodied. Something that we could just have for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
It looks like we've not. But anyway.
Perhaps we should mix this with the other one you didn't like, with the blackcurrant liqueur, and see what happens.
Well, I'm probably find something good, actually. But, no. There's an idea. I think if the listeners have any ideas about mixing ciders.
I think that's not... I don't think we should mix ciders.
So, I wasn't proposing that we mix the ciders. I was going to ask the listeners if they've had any experience of mixing ciders.
Oh, right.
Or is that a behaviour we want to encourage?
No, I don't think it is.
Right, okay.
I think that's...
No. That would demean the whole idea.
Yes.
Of the cider
No, I think we need to leave it up to the actual cider makers to actually create the cider that we're drinking and let us drink it.
Okay. One of the things we thought we might discuss was what's going on in the world of cider.
In the world of cider?
Yeah, cider news, if you will. So, IT, what's going on in cider news this week?
This week, well, I've gone in this week. Well, I did have a look.
Recently, given that this is our inaugural podcast.
Aye, so that means that
recently.
I can give any news from, like, whenever. The main stuff which I've been pleased about, which I think I've probably touched on at least, is Thistle Cross, which is now available in all Scottish Sainsbury's, I believe. All Scottish Sainsbury's.
Which is how many stores? There's not that many Sainsbury's in Scotland, is there, really?
Edinburgh. When I say all Sainsbury's, probably all the big Sainsbury's rather than Alton.
Well, I mean, this is good news as far as I'm concerned.
It is, because Thistle Cross has always been one which has been tricky to find. It's, with its uniqueness of it, quite often the...
Yeah, we had to, in the early days, a year and a half ago we're talking about, when Thistle Cross was growing. And it became on our radar as cider fans. It came on our radar. We tried it. We liked it. And we used to have to go to specific pubs to actually drink it, or specific shops that sold it. We both happened to know of, well, after doing some rampant searching throughout Edinburgh.
Yes.
We searched for a few good local wineries that stocked it. And so it's good news now that it's going to be widely available for the average consumer.
Yes, and they do the full range as well. right from the low alcohol elderflower to the still and the sparkling of the original, the traditional 4.4. And then they've got obviously the new whiskey cask, 6.9, which replaces the old gold that they used to do, which was, I think, about 4-ish%. And
so they've stopped doing that gold one?
Yes, it's no longer gold, it is just whiskey cask that they do, the 6.9.
I don't understand why they've done that, because I would have thought you could have... There's clearly a market for the both of them. I mean, if your variety's already quite... You've got six brands. I mean, if you can... brand with six varieties...
They do have quite a few varieties, especially if they've got the still and sparkling and the traditional. So, they're not the 500ml bottles. They are, because it's the premium cider, I think the reason that they decided to go for the 330ml bottles is the 500ml in a supermarket up against all the other ciders at, it'll probably be, at least £4 a bottle, roughly.
£4 a bottle?
Of the 500ml. So they're currently doing 330ml bottles for £1.79 each, I believe. Yes, that's right, £1.79 each.
£1.79 for that bottle?
Which is not bad. And that's probably why they're going for it. A smaller bottle, so you can have quite a cheaper price, which doesn't initially seem like it's... quite expensive compared to the other ciders.
I mean, but if you look at the new branding, you touched on this earlier, but they're definitely going for the Scottish theme again, because, they are still the only Scottish cider that we're
making. As far as I am aware.
So they've rebranded the whole thing. I mean, they've got the Saltire bottle cap, which is nice, and they've got two thistles on the bottle. So they're clearly going for that market.
Yes.
With Scotland's original cider on the label, and... my only concern with the new branding is that it looks a bit novelty, and I wouldn't want people to get the impression that it's a novelty drink.
Well, did you vote on the various labels that they put onto their website a few months ago?
I didn't. Did you?
I did.
And did you vote for this?
I can't remember. It was quite a while ago.
To be honest, though, I can't remember what the original branding label looked like. So.
It was... It's not quite... It didn't have quite a modern twist to it.
Yeah.
But,
Well, let's not go back to the past. Anyway, what else is going on in the news this week?
To be honest, that's my main news. Well, no, actually...
That's your news.
No, Thistlecross. Thistlecross. It's all about Thistlecross this week.
So it's all about Thistlecross. It's a very Thistlecross-themed week.
I do like the Thistlecross.
No, we both like Thistlecross.
And to be honest, it's the cider that we most drink that's the most interesting things have happened in. We've got the whiskey cask cider, we've got the new branding, what it being in Sainsbury's. But as well as that, I have... read in, I think it was Camera a few months ago, about Thistlecross coming out with a 14% whiskey cider.
A 14% whiskey cider?
A 14% whiskey cider, which is stronger than wine.
It would be stronger than wine, wouldn't it? You might all call that a super cider, which puts it in the realms of Tennent's Super. And I think could get into the wrong idea of what Thistlecross should be.
Well,
don't get me wrong, I'm going to try it.
No, but I think going that high, right, when you get up to like the 8%-ish.
Which is what your Henry Weston's
is. Which is what your Henry Weston's is. And if it's at a cheap price, then I can see why people will compare that to White Lightning or whatever it used to be. You don't even get White Lightning these days, do you?
I think you do. I saw it in the shop the other day.
Oh, why are you looking at that? No, I'm sure
I wasn't looking at it. It just happened to be there.
I noticed it. You sure it wasn't something? I don't know.
It's just like a memory
from like an own brand thing. Anyway, we don't drink White Lightning.
We certainly don't.
What was I saying? Yes. So Henry Weston's vintage 2011 is 8.2%, and it's cheap. But when you go to 14%, which is crazy strong, and it's not going to be cheap. I guess it's going to be even more expensive than your standard Thistlecrosses.
So it's even more of a premium. It's like the I don't know, your Glenfiddich 130-year-old whiskey idea.
Actually, at 14%, you wouldn't... I doubt that's going to come in the pint.
Yeah.
It will probably be at least...
But even a 330 bottle, I mean, if you... you could argue it's like a small bottle of wine. So it's like one person having a small bottle of wine.
Yeah.
In fact, it's even more alcohol than that. But, fair enough. If they sold it in small bottles, I doubt supermarkets would let them have it. Anyway, if there's no other news,
I didn't say there was no other news. we've got more Thistlecross news.
I think that's enough Thistlecross news.
No, what I should say lastly, as well as this 14%, which I need to tweet them for an update, actually, to find out how it's going. There's also talk about Glenglassaugh, I believe, which is the whiskey distillery they use for their whiskey cask cider, are going to produce a whiskey which has been finished off in cider casks. So as well as having whiskey cider...
We're going to get cider whiskey.
We're going to get cider whiskey.
Interesting. Now, you and I are both whiskey fans, but I don't think that'll work.
Oh, well, we'll have to wait and see.
We will. Well, I'll leave that there.
I don't know why not. I mean, you get the likes of your Quinta Rubin Glenmorangie, which is finished off in... Is that port? Not sherry.
You do. The Balvenie Double is another one. Sherry cask.
Yeah, I've got that covered, actually.
But I don't think... Well, perhaps we'll try it. We'll try it when it comes out. But again, we're veering off topic.
Well, how about we get some of that, you know, not double wood, maybe something like Highland Park, and tip a bit of, I don't know, Thistle Cross into it. I know, we're getting back to mixing drinks.
We're getting back to mixing drinks. Which we discourage listeners.
Well, I don't know. We just go and mix cider, but I think mixing cider and whiskey. Mm. No, we'll leave that to the experts.
We'll leave that to the experts, which we are not, and which we constantly say. Okay, we're going to move on. We thought we would discuss one pub in Edinburgh this week. I mean, we, after all, this is the Edinburgh Cider View.
It is.
We both live in Edinburgh.
We do.
And we thought we'd try to give a bit of local flavour to the show. Because, with the exception of Thistle Cross, which is Dumbarton, I believe.
About that way.
Yeah. There's nothing cider-related at Edinburgh, but we thought we'd talk about one pub in Edinburgh in each podcast. So, we thought we'd start close to home, or your home.
My home.
Which would be the Old Chain Pier.
The Old Chain Pier.
Or more specifically, the New Old Chain Pier.
The New Old Chain Pier. Because the Old Chain Pier has quite a history, going back quite a long time.
Hence the old.
But there was an Old Chain Pier, which closed...
A couple of years ago.
It wasn't even that. Maybe probably over a year ago. Yeah, definitely over a year ago. Which was all right. It was quite... we went there a couple of times. I thought the inside wasn't too bad. It was a bit unique.
Old school, yeah.
It was a bit...
It wasn't. They hadn't put much effort into the interior design of the place.
And I think looking at reviews, I never ate there in the old one, but the food wasn't that great. Looking at the reviews, but anyway, that's the old one.
Yeah, I mean, recently we went to the second night of the new opening.
We did, which has been completely new owners, completely refurbished. And it's completely different to what the old one.
Well, you say completely different. I mean,
no, it is. They've gutted it.
Well, they've given it a good rummage. They've cleaned the place.
No, they gutted it.
And they've given it a second level, actually, haven't they? They've got a wee up the stairs.
I don't know. There was that before. There was definitely that before.
Anyway, we're getting into the mechanics of the refurbishment. Let's talk about the pub and why people would want to go to
this. They gutted it, and it is right on the coast. So much on the coast that part of it actually overhangs.
It's in New Haven, by the way. We should have mentioned that.
Yeah, we should. Well, yeah, Google it. It's literally right on the coast. So much so that part of it actually overhangs over the sea. So when the tide's up, the sea could theoretically actually be going underneath it. So sitting there, with some massive windows inside, the views on a good day can be pretty spectacular, especially when the waves are crashing around.
And what would you want to drink in such a scenario? Well, the ciders that they have available, because after all, this is the Edinburgh Cider Review, so you need to know what ciders you're going to get in any pub that we review. On draft, it was Old English and Addlestons, if I remember.
Yes, Old English and Addlestons.
And I mean, Addlestons is a unique cider as well. It's more of a traditional, it's Cornish,
it's
a, one, isn't
it's
it?
It's quite a scrumpy, it's quite a cloudy, strongish cider.
It's strong. It's maybe got, I've sometimes thought it's got a slight aftertaste to it, but it's a nice one. It's a nice one to have occasionally in a pub environment. It's not something I would order from my fridge, I don't think.
I saw it in Sainsbury's today, actually. Did hesitate on the bottle.
You hesitated, exactly. You
didn't. But partly because I had it before, and I thought, let's get some new stuff in, like the Sheppies, which is actually growing on me. I'm still drinking this.
It's grown on me slightly, right, the Sheppies, but it's not. I'm still getting that aftertaste, which is too dry.
I'm very much over that initial. The first sip was pretty surprising, let's say.
Yeah.
But after a few drinks, it's growing on me.
Yeah. Anyway, we're still talking about the Old Chain Pier.
Back to the Old Chain Pier.
The cider that they have on draft. They've got Old English and Addlestons. Apart from Addlestons, most of our listeners will be aware of Old English. It's one of your very traditional ciders, so
yeah,
there's not much to comment on. It's the kind of cider that I thought I was going to have when I was trying Sheppies, to be honest. The kind of one that you can enjoy as a standard cider.
There's nothing
wrong with it, and it's nice, but there's nothing exciting to it. So it's not one that I would go to specifically enjoy, but if I'm in a pub and I'm drinking cider, I don't mind having it.
Yes, I'd agree there.
I don't blame the Old Chimpier for having it on their taps. I congratulate them for having Addlestons, because there's only two pubs I think we've been in Edinburgh that sell Addlestons.
What's the other one?
The Antiquary in Stockbridge.
Ah, yes, of course. Because, well, I first discovered Addlestons in the Westport in St Andrews. They have it on tap there. And other than that, I can't actually remember seeing it anywhere else.
I can't think. Maybe something that I've met as we've had it somewhere else, but no, it seems to be the Antiquary and the Old Chimpier where you can get Addlestons. A fine cider. Not one that you'd maybe have more than two or three pints of, I don't think. You'd have it once to try it, you'd return to it, but you wouldn't have it constantly.
Yeah, I agree. So, their selection of, well, there are two draft ciders, is, I suppose, not terrible, as in a lot of places only have, say,
Strongbow and Blackmore.
So, at least we have that Addlestons and the Old English.
Yeah, you have a standard, like, let's be honest, I mean, for cider drinkers, yeah, we're growing used to seeing a lot of brightly coloured bottles in fridges these days, but the idea of having a good standard cider on draft and a slightly more unique, cloudy, scrumpy style cider called Addlestons, I would encourage them. I think they're doing quite well on the draft cider.
True. I did have a word with them and see if they were going to be getting any Thistle Cross in, but unfortunately, because it's run by, I can't remember which company runs it, they have to stick really run, to the deals that...
But it's not bad all the same. And knowledgeable bar staff, as you were saying, they understood.
Yes, no, they did.
For Thistle Cross
fans. The ones I spoke to were very much Thistle Cross fans. So perhaps one day we shall see.
They do have the standard affair in the bottles. They've got, is it Bulmers or Magnus?
It's one of the two.
I mean,
I can't remember which they had.
I mean, the standard four you get in most pubs in Edinburgh now, and this just tells you about it, is you get a Magnus pear, a Magnus apple, a Bulmers pear, and a Bulmers apple.
Yeah.
That seems to be it. They had at least three of those four from memory. I can't remember any other unique bottles they had. They might have had a Copperberg as well.
Yeah.
But nothing exciting in the fridge.
Nothing, your more commercial side of things. Nothing different.
Yeah. So we'll give them, I would say we'd give them above average marks on the draft front. We'd give them average marks on the bottle front.
Yeah, I'd agree there.
Yeah. As far as the pub goes, it's got three sections. It's got the main section with the bar, with the overhanging of the cliff, which is quite interesting.
It's quite nice. It's very much food orientated, that side of things, where the tables are laid out.
Mm.
And the food there, I've eaten there a couple of times. The food's quite good.
The food is good.
It's pretty good.
We should say it's in a place in New Haven where there's two or three bars that you might go. I mean, the only reason I've ever gone to this bar and the other bars in New Haven is because it's near your flat.
True.
When we go out to drink cider.
True.
So that's the only place we'd come to New Haven. But had I not known about New Haven, I would have liked to have... I would be encouraged to go had I known more about it, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
So I've encouraged you, listeners, to try New Haven. The other pub in New Haven that listeners may be familiar with is the...
Starbank, I think.
The Starbank. Which is the sort of larger, more focused area for New Haven, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the Starbank's quite an established pub.
But we're not going to talk about Starbank.
No, we won't talk about Starbank tonight. But I will say, it doesn't have any ciders worth mentioning on draft.
No.
Or in bottles, to be honest.
But
let's leave that for another day.
Yeah, so... But we recommend you go to the Old Chimpier, give it a shot. The reason we mention the locale is because there's other places to go if you want to make an evening of it. We recommend the Old Chimpier, both as a pub and as a place to try... two ciders that you may not have been familiar with before.
Indeed.
But let's move on. We're thinking, listeners, of having a feature called Let's Branch Out. And what was the purpose of Let's Branch Out again?
It's talking about the drinks that are not cider, but are not beer. So they're the kind of drinks that cider drinkers might...
That leaves quite a volume of and variety of drinks in there.
Well, ignoring the spirits and the wines.
Yes.
So the kind of drink that cider drinkers might be drawn to.
Yes. The realms of ginger beer, that kind of thing. So, on that note, what we didn't mention when we were going through IT's fridge was we have something for Let's Branch Out, and this is something that we tried, a few weeks ago for the first time?
We discovered it in the Antiquary in Stockbridge.
Yeah, when we were watching the Ryder Cup.
Yes, when we were watching the Ryder Cup.
That's all we drank that night, wasn't it?
And then we also went around the corner to the Bailey, and they happened to have it there.
On Kitchen. The Bailey doesn't have it on... It was only a promotion. Have we actually told the listeners what this is yet?
No, we haven't. Anyway, so Jeremiah Weed. Well, we don't even know what it is.
No, we don't know what it is.
Jeremiah Weed comes in two varieties. One of is ginger root.
Ginger root.
The bottle we have here.
And I think this one was the one I preferred.
Is the. Well, it's very different.
The sour mash.
It's sour mash brew. Now, sour mash, I believe, is whiskey, effectively, is it not?
Well, a bourbon-style thing, isn't it?
Well, no, there's bourbon and there's sour mash. Do they not differ? We might be wrong here. But as far as I was aware, sour mash is like whiskey. Anyway, this Jeremiah Weed, you're meant to drink out of a jam jar with lots of ice.
Yes.
In the pubs, they actually have a Jeremiah Weed jam jar, which is like an oversized jam jar. So it still has like the bit at the top, which you screw the top on. Unfortunately, they don't provide it with lids, and it has a handle. But Neil here is just pouring out his Jeremiah Weed sour mash brew.
Yeah.
And from what I remember, it's interesting and very different to anything I've ever tasted.
It is very different. It's almost indescribably different. Indescribably different. You will like it, though. I would recommend almost every cider drinker or person that likes cider to try Jeremiah Weed. It might not be something they would drink all the time. A bit like ginger beer, it might be something you only want once. But it's something that is very different, but nice.
Mm.
It's very difficult to describe, but we'll have a go at describing it. You definitely get a jam hit to you at the start. It's something very sweet. I'm trying to think of the right word to... What would counterbalance a sweet... It's not a sweet tasting. It would be...
Sour?
Well, it could be a sweet... Well, there's nothing sour about sour mash. Bizarrely.
Well...
Maybe in the aftertaste. There's a hint of sourness in the aftertaste.
Yeah.
But sourness... It's a very... You could describe it as a sweet and sour drink, effectively. Sweet going down and sour... Sour notes at the end, perhaps.
Something like that.
You'll be able to sort of pick up in this list. We're struggling to describe sour mash. Jeremiah Weed sour mash.
See, do you know what I would like to do, and what I shall do, actually?
Pretty fragrant smelling as well.
When I first tried this, and it has that kind of kick to it that reminded me of something, and I wasn't sure what it was, and I'm still not sure what it is, but I have an idea of what it might be. What that might be, I'm getting somewhere, is the whiskey cask this across.
No, I don't think so.
You reckon?
I don't think it's like the whiskey cask.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a bit of this sour mash, and then I'm going to try some of the whiskey cask this across.
Well, if you go.
To answer my question, I may be completely wrong, but sour mash being whiskey... I'm going to Wikipedia sour mash just so we know exactly what we're talking about here.
This is good for the listeners. IT is going to Wikipedia something.
Yeah.
In the middle of the podcast.
You could entertain them while I'm...
Well, I'm going to try and describe sour mash in greater detail. It's definitely jammy. I don't like using the word jammy because it's got other connotations in Scotland, as most of you know. So it's got a jam foretaste. It's very sweet. But it's like a natural sweetness. It's not an artificial sweetness that you might get with a Recordleg or a Copperberg, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a good sweetness. It's not sugar. It's not like a sugar-filled added. It's a well-designed sweetness that hits you at the start, and then it's got nothing earthy to it. What I'm saying is there's nothing full-bodied.
Right.
But it's got a slight sour on the way down, so it's very much a sweet and sour drink. It might be something like it's got no sharpness to it either. For instance, it wouldn't be something that you could only have one of and then have to leave it for a time. The way that I feel about Krabby's ginger beer, it's something you could have one or two of. You might get tired with the overly sweetness, maybe perhaps, but again, I would say it's not a sugary sweetness. It's a nice drink.
Yeah, It is.
Anyway, have you Wikipedia'd your thing yet?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Sour mash is a process in the distilling industry that uses material from an older batch of mash to start fermentation in the batch currently being made, and analogous to this making of sourdough bread. Anyway, what it says is sour mash does not refer to the flavour of the whiskey, as is sometimes thought. So, it can also be used as the name of the type of mash used in the process, and a whiskey made using this process can be referred to as a sour mash whiskey. So, it does have some relation to whiskey.
Some relation.
Not that I still quite fully understand the relation. So what I'm going to do here is crack open my bottle of whiskey cast this across. So let's see if the kind of aftertaste that I'm getting of this whiskey cask is similar to that of the sour mash.
Okay. And?
Do you know what, actually?
You were talking nonsense.
No. There's something there. There's definitely something there.
Well, I'll see what you mean by that.
They're definitely not too dissimilar.
Do you know what I would say? The Jeremiah Mead is probably the only drink I've discovered outside of the, let's call it the normal cider, normal beer fraternities that I would go back to again and again and again.
Mm.
If I saw it in a pub, I would order it.
Even the sour mash brew. Now, we also tried the Jeremiah Weed Ginger Brew, I think it was
Ginger
called.
Root.
Ginger Root Brew.
Yeah, that was one.
And I actually preferred that one. It's similar to Krabby's, but
I wouldn't
kind
say
of
so.
More
say
refreshing.
So. Less sharp. Yeah.
It's definitely
I agree with the second
Krabby's.
Half of what you said. It's less sharp, more refreshing, but I wouldn't say it's like Krabby's. Krabby's is very much a ginger beer. Ginger, alcoholic ginger beer. There's nothing else to it, you know what I mean? So we disagree. We disagree. But the whole point of the evening is Jeremiah Weed is a fine drink. Go back to it. Try it. Give it a shot. You will like it. I've introduced it to other people since we had it ourselves. Everybody's liked it, bar none. And everybody would return to it. In fact, we went to the same pubs again. And people were asking for it, so unfortunately the Baileys ran out, so the promotion's finished.
And it sounds like everyone's trying to nick the Jeremiah Weed jam jars.
Yeah, they probably are. The purpose of Let's Branch Out, the feature, was to recommend Jeremiah Weed, but we also recommend this across Whiskey Cask. But as you can probably tell by now, listeners, we're both Thistle Cross fans, and yeah. IT's filled his fridge up with Thistle Cross.
Both so. Being Scottish and both being cider drinkers, how can you not like Thistle Cross?
Well, I totally agree. Is there anything else we want to add?
I think...
Well, get in touch, listeners.
Yes.
Get in touch.
TheOrchard@ciderreview.com.
TheOrchard@ciderreview.com. We're going to try and get a website up and running.
And we'll try and get on Facebook at some point, too.
And we will get on Facebook as well. Given that IT is a web developer, this should be very easy for us. Thank you for listening, listeners. And we'll see you next time for the Edinburgh Cider Review.
Goodbye. Hope you enjoyed our first ever Cider Review.